Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam International. You are listening to myself, Muhammad Bam, and we are doing the Asma'ul Nabi program. And with myself online, I have is Marana Muhammad Ali from Middleburg. Marana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marana, how are we this morning?
Alhamdulillah, by the fadl of Allah, we are all well, shukr.
MashaAllah. Well, we can continue the program.
Jazakumullah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhin astafa. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وجعلنا للمتقين إماما صدق الله العظيم. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the choicest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon His most beloved Nabi, our leader, Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the numerous bounties and blessings He has bestowed upon us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the opportunity to continuously acknowledge His blessings and enable us to continue to express gratitude for His blessings. And we beseech and beg Allah ta'ala not to deny and deprive us of any of these favors of His on account of our own weakness. Alhamdulillah, from among the blessings of Allah ta'ala is this, that we are honored to take His name, and we are associated to His name, and we are associated to the various commands that He has sent to us upon or through Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All we need now to do is to make an effort to strengthen our link to Him, to improve the quality of our ibadat and devotion to Him, and to bring in all the other aspects with regard to sincerity and with regard to consciousness and taqwa, because there's always room for improvement. And inshallah, that will earn us not only the mercy of Allah, but we will taste the sweetness of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as we will be loved even more by Allah ta'ala. And He will choose us and include us from amongst His special, special servants, inshallah. Respected listeners, alhamdulillah, we are discussing the names of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this also is a blessing, that through the discussion of the names of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we get an insight into his noble lifestyle and to his seerah. And this is the miracle of the mission of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How? In this way, that if we look at all the previous anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam that came, their sphere of activity was limited. In other words, they worked in an area among certain people, and they worked for a certain period. And when that period had lapsed, then they had left this world. So those people who had the honor of being amongst their respective anbiya were very honored, alhamdulillah. They were favored by Allah Ta'ala, especially those who accepted the message and put into practice. So every Nabi had his group of followers. Then comes Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him a Nabi for all of mankind till the day of Qiyamah. And yet we are so close to him. So alhamdulillah, that is also an honor to us and upon us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we're going to discuss another name of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that has been recorded in the books by the various scholars. And this is the name Al-Imam. So when we look at the word Imam, then it means a leader. We find that in the Kitab of Durud that has been written by Hazrat Maulana Musa Bazi Ruhani Rahimahullah in the Kitab Al-Barakatul Makkiyah, he says, Allahumma salli ala al-imam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, send your blessings upon the imam, that is Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise we find that this word imam has been used in other aspects of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life as well. And let me mention it right here up front, that this word imam that we are discussing as a name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in no way linked to that concept of imam and imamat upon which the Shia religion is based, the 12 imams, has got nothing to do with that. This is the position of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the various activities in which he served as a leader of not only mankind, but in the different fields of the activities of mankind. And as we are going to expound and inshallah open up as we go along. So this word imam refers to Imamun Nas. Now we must remember this is a very, very great name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're not talking only a name, and it's also a position. But obviously Asma'un Nabi under the names of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one name that has been given to him is Al-Imam, the Imam. Like how he was called Al-Mu'allim, the teacher. And if we have to look at the position that Allah Ta'ala had designated to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mankind needed a leader that was to lead them from that point onwards throughout time right till the day of Qiyamah. And mankind needed such a leader who would be able to provide guidance and solutions for all the other issues that will sooner or later come up in the life of mankind as such, as mankind as a whole. And Allah Ta'ala therefore chose such a leader in the form of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that not only was he a leader among the people whom he lived, the Sahaba Ridwanullah Ta'ala alayhi majma'in, but his way of life and his uswa has provided leadership for all the aspects that were present at that time and would come up later on till the day of Qiyamah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not tell us that follow Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and 1,436 years later we find that there is no solution in one or other part of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life. Na'udhu billah. No. When Allah ta'ala has said to us that he is your prophet and he is your leader, you will find him leading you in any and every aspect. And this is a miracle, again, of the nubuwat of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is the first thing. Such a leader whose leadership is all-encompassing and comprehensive, covering every aspect of mankind's needs and activities from that day and subsequently till the day of Qiyamah, whatever else might come up, subhanallah. Also, we must remember that the leadership that was displayed to us by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this deen of his and in the sharia as such is such that it is in total sync and harmony with all the activities. Meaning what? That assuming this, if we have to look around now, how you find there are people that grant and give leadership to people in different ways. So you'll find someone who is the master and the expert and the leader in a certain field, in a certain institution, in a certain activity, whether it is political, whether it's educational, whether it is military, whether it is in philanthropy, whatever it might be. In different fields, we'll find there will be different masters and experts. And when a person is a master and expert in one particular field, we will not normally and generally find him to be also a leader in another one. There it will be somebody else. And in another one, it will be somebody else. Yes, they might be associated, they might be skilled to a certain extent in other fields also. But to give that kind of leadership that everyone can look up to that person in every field is not found except in the leadership of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, you can find if there are different people that are giving leadership in different activities, many times there will be no sync, there will be no harmony between them, because the approach of a leader in the way he does things will not necessarily be harmonious and compatible to the activities that are given by another leader. So we will find there will be a clash and a contradiction, and they will have to meet and negotiate and say, okay, this is how we like to go around this thing. But when it comes to the leadership of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Imam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as an Imam, we find that the entire model of all his different leaderships and different activities are so beautifully synchronized with each other that there is no contradiction, there is no difficulty. And how he had struck a beautiful balance between the haves and the have-nots in such a manner that everyone is taken care of. Even there we find there are copious notes and books written just praising and mulling over the beautiful model of economy and financial management as given by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he was a leader in that field also. I just use this as one example. Subhanallah. So now, having discussed this, let us look at the other names of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that are linked to him as a leader. So we find, for example, we said, Al-Imam, the Imam. That means the most outstanding Imam, the all-enveloping, all-encompassing Imam of mankind. Then, Imamun Nas, leader of mankind. Then, Imamul Anbiya and Imamul Nabiyyin, Imamul Rusul, subhanallah. These are some of the other names that have been given. Imamul Muttaqin, Imamul Khayri wa Rahma, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imamul Haramain, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we get Imamul Haram, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Imamul Haramain. So Imamul Anbiya, as we find in the books of history and so forth, that all the other Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam came and they carried out a mission and the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bit by bit, and then finally came the leader who delivered the final message to mankind, which was to be the final testimony and testament to be followed till the day of Qiyamah. And that was left to Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in terms of them being below Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and being the followers of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the other Anbiya, we find he is their Imam. Then we also find that he is Imamul Anbiya by virtue of him having led all the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa sallam in Salah. We know the very famous incident that had taken place on the occasion of Mi'raj, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped at Baytul Maqdis, and when he was there with Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam, amongst whom was Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, and Musa alayhi salam, and Isa alayhi salam. And as mentioned in the books of history and ahadith, that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Masjid al-Aqsa, then he found that there was a saf, there was a row of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa sallam that had already formed as a row, and they were waiting for the Imam. And then at that point in time, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam took me by the hand, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and he put me in front, and he told me to lead the salah. And when I after I performed and led the salah as an Imam, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam said, did you know who you just led in salah? So I replied, I don't know. Jibreel Amin alayhi salatu wa sallam said that all the Anbiya alayhimu salam that had been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of them had now just performed salah behind you, subhanallah. So therefore that makes him also what we refer to as Imamul Anbiya. So that is one other aspect of why he is the Imam of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa sallam. The second aspect. Then also, we have to look at the various ahadith which have been narrated to us by the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, where they have described the imamat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are numerous ahadith to say that we were with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and in salah he led us like this, and after salah this had happened, or in the salah that had happened. So there are numerous ahadith which we cannot go into, or sometimes they say before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started leading us in salah. For example, in the one hadith, it is said that he used to tell the people to call out the takbir, or the iqama, or before the iqama used to be called out. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to command the people and order them to stand shoulder to shoulder, and no one must be front, no one must be back, the safs must be straight, because if the safs, the rows are not going to be straight, then what is going to happen is that there is going to be a division amongst your heart. And sometimes you find if somebody was more in the front, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the Imam used to actually go up to the person and put him back and tell the people to stand in a straight line. Somebody's feet were not correct, somebody was out of line, then as an Imam Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to tell the people, straighten your rows every year when you go to the haram. The imam says, istawu, istawu, and other hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they actually quote. And keep your line straight, because straightening of the lines is from part of the salah, is from part of the completion and perfection of the salah. And if your lines are not going to be straight, فَتَخْتَلِفَ قُلُوبُكُمْ, your hearts will become divided, and so forth. So we find that those ahadith, they are talking about the imamate of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to those people that were there. And like we said, there are numerous ahadith in that particular field and in that chapter. Then besides that, we also mentioned Imamul Haramain, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the honor of being the imam of the two harams. In which way? In this way, that when he was in Medina Munawwara, obviously he was the imam. And when he was in Makkah Mukarramah, before the hijrah, there is no real indication to say that salah was performed with jamaat. But after that, you know, when the azan came about, the people used to then gather. But there probably were incidents also in Makkah when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to perform salah with jamaat as an imam. And obviously after the conquest of Makkah, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back to Makkah and he performed salah at that time when the Muslims had now liberated the haram, they could be in the haram. At that time it's obvious that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led the Muslimin in salah. So there he was also the imam of that haram. So Imamul Haramain. And obviously we just mentioned that not only of that haram, even the haram of Aqsa, which is a haram in a different way, even there Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the imam, like you mentioned. And there Allah Ta'ala honored him not only to be the imam of the Anbiya, according to one narration, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam told him that there are also malaika that have been given special permission to come down today and to join you in salah. So he led the imam, the malaika also in salah. So there is another name of his, Imamul Haramain. Then there is a very broad and a very general name also given, Imamul Khair and Imamul Rahmah. It's obvious that every teaching of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is nothing but mercy, because he himself is rahmatul lil alameen. So he was the one, the forbearer, the harbinger, the leader of every kind of mercy and khair and rahmah. That being the case, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led the people and gave them a path of mercy and khair, that is the path of goodness, alhamdulillah. Then we go a bit more into detail with regard to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a ruler and as a statesman. When we say he was the imam, you know, there we will find that the amount of research that has been done on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a statesman, also imam of the people at that time, a leader of the people, we find that his achievements are unparalleled, and it is unique, and it's also a miracle. It's nothing short of a miracle, because what he had achieved and what he had laid down as an example in a short period of 10 years, what he has contributed to leadership, what he has contributed and left behind as an example in terms of government practice in so many different ways, it is only a miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we find in this world, even in our own example and circumstances, that we find a system of government comes in, and then it takes them so long before they can establish themselves. They go on blaming apartheid, and they go on blaming everybody else, and they just can't find themselves, and they are involved with so many other issues, that 20 years down the line, still not sorted out, 10 years down the line, still not sorted out. And this is on in different parts of the world, where when different governments come, and when that ruler is out, then they will count all the non-achievements, all the blunders and the catastrophes and the calamities and the disasters he has brought upon his people in the form of misery, in the form of what they refer to as non-unemployment, in the form of economic imbalances and injustices and whatever else it might be, after ruling for 2 and 3 terms at the time. Then we find those who rule for their whole life, like the most of Africa we find. And finally, when they're gone, there is so much of shukr in the hearts of the people. They say, this fellow ruled for 30 years and 40 years, but this is the mess he left the country in. So these are all the statesmen and all the rulers. Now look at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam as a ruler and as a statesman, that in a short period of 10 years, he had established a perfectly stable government in Medina Munawwara. And thereafter we find that that gave, provided a base for the rest of the Ummah to follow, starting with the noble Khulafa, Rashidin, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. And we find that even when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Makkah, that time also he had great qualities of a leader. Even before being appointed a Nabi by Allah ta'ala and being granted Nubuwat, we find that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ruling, he had those qualities. You know the story of the Halful Fudul that took place even before. The Halful Fudul took place even before he was announced as a Nabi by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the days of Jahiliyyah, when the different tribes around Makkah and in Makkah were fighting and killing each other, when everyone was fighting for their rights and denying everybody else of their rights, when there was such a deterioration at that time in the peace and in the order of the people, there was a difficulty. There was just no peace. There was just oppression taking place at that time. Then we find the Halful Fudul took place. And Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was one of the young people at that time who had displayed leadership qualities in as far as granting direction to this particular agreement, which finally brought about peace in that region. And he himself says, I was present in the house of Abdullah ibn Jad'an at the time of this alliance, that half that was formed, the Halful Fudul. And he says, I would not like to be deprived of the honor of joining just for a herd of red camels. In other words, it was such a great honor for me to be part of this particular alliance that was formed among the different tribes of the Quraysh at that time, just even before Islam came about. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, even if I am called now, that means now in the time of Islam, I will go to the help of the person. So this is what actually a true leader is supposed to be. He is supposed to provide leadership to the people. And we find that when that alliance was formed, at that time, alhamdulillah, there was satisfaction amongst all the people and everybody accepted it, and general stability came about in whatever the situation was prevailing. Then one more example of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a true statesman and a unique leader was in a famous incident, which we're not going to go into the details, when the Kaaba was renovated. And at that time, the part of the Hajarul Aswad came, where every tribe was fighting and was vying with each other that we're going to put it in. No way anybody else is going to put it in. We have more right. That was said, we have more right. And the historians have said that the matter had become so critical that swords were drawn. In other words, people were supposed to let blood flow. People were prepared to let necks and heads roll if it had to be. At such a time, there was just no solution to the problem. Who must put the black stone? Then they made the mashwara at that time that whoever walks into the masjid, there are different ways how this narration is, whether he walks in now, whether it's tomorrow morning, whoever it might be. And the first person to walk in was Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And by that already he was given the titles of Al-Amin and Al-Sadiq, that when he walked in, they said, right, the right person has walked in. These are all attributes and qualities of a true leader. Honesty, trustworthiness, not corrupt, not stealing, not doing all underhand bribery and corruption. No, Al-Amin and Al-Sadiq, true qualities of a real outstanding statesman, not blemished in any way. And when he walked in, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him to sort the problem out, where he put the sheet and everybody, then he put the Hajar al-Aswad, then everybody was given the opportunity of raising the stone right till the height where the Hajar al-Aswad was supposed to be inserted and embedded into the wall of the Kaaba. And that time with his Mubarak hand, he put it and everybody accepted it. There was no argument, there was no fight. Everybody was so impressed. So this is how, even before the coming of Nubuwwah, he displayed these beautiful attributes and qualities of a real unique statesman. Inshallah, we'll discuss a few more aspects of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as an imam in this and other aspects. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq wa ma'alina balagh. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah Maulana for that inspiring program. Do join us next week at the same time with the Asma'ul Nabi program with Maulana Muhammad Ali. From myself, Muhammad Bam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.